Thank everyone for joining us today, and welcome to our presentation on the 2024 Data Analytics and AI Predictions Research. I'm your host, Steve Rosenwald. I'm the Chief Learning Officer at CFO.University.
Here to discuss his research into artificial intelligence is Tobias Wingman. Tobias is the managing partner of Rapid.ai, an independent boutique AI consulting firm specializing in AI prototyping, development, strategy, and training.
Under the artificial intelligence flag is human potential will be augmented with AI, and AI flexibility will be bolstered by an open source ecosystem. It's now time to witness the future with Tobias.
Thank you, Steve, and hello everyone also from my side. So yeah, my two predictions for 2024 and also probably beyond are first that AI augmentation will beat AI automation, and the second one will be that the open source ecosystem will be even more important. But let me start with the first one. So we all know that last year, especially, AI took center stage. It was all about the news, all in the news. There was a lot of hype around AI. And as we just could observe with NVIDIA's earnings call yesterday, it still is. But also what I observe from my consulting practice is that there's a common misconception when it comes around AI, when it comes about on AI. And this misconception is that a lot of people think that AI will automatically lead to automation, that it will automate processes and it will make a lot of work redundant. And while this certainly is the case in the long run for some use cases, I think the near-term future, we need to crush some hopes when it comes to automation. And why is that? So every one of you who has used ChatGPT or any similar AI, generative AI tool, like for example, Google's Gemini or previously called Bard, will have observed that the results of these models, they are not deterministic. So you can put in the same text and you will get similar outputs, but sometimes you will also get very strange outputs. And this is, I think, the very important insight to have. This will not get better over time. The way these generative AI models are designed is that they always contain this stochastic process, this non-determinism in their architecture, in their designs. Being non-deterministic and generating random stuff sometimes is a feature, it's not a bug. And at the same time, this makes it really hard to put these models into highly scaled automated workflows. For example, if you have a model where you can never be sure what exactly it produces and if the output is really correct, then you can only be sure of one thing, and this is at some point it will fail. So how do you deal with that? And I think in the short term, there's really only one answer to that, and this is you need a strong safety net for these models. And the best safety net to have is to have a human in the loop. But I think especially in 2024, when businesses take their first step into AI, humans should be in the center. AI solutions should be human-centric. So you should first look at your workflows, at the people that are doing these workflows, and then you can ask yourself, how can we use AI to improve that? So, and coming to my prescriptions, how can you prepare for this? I think it essentially boils down to a few bullet points. The first one really is that you should think about what's the right balance between AI and human input. So it's really clear you can have an underutilization of AI and you can also have an overutilization of AI. I'll give you a really practical example. Let's take a spell checker, for example. Let's say you use Microsoft Word or any other text writing program, then you have a spell checker there. There might be a little spell checker that just checks for basic grammar mistakes, maybe even with AI, and you might think, okay, there should be more to it than just that. The other extreme would be to just insert one single text or one single keyword and just generate the whole paragraph for you. That might be AI overkill because in this case, the human would only rely on the AI outputs and neglect their own kind of critical thinking. So you need to balance this sweet spot and find the sweet spot for the application that you're doing or that you're designing for an AI service and figure out where exactly is this sweet spot and what kind of AI involvement in this process is really beneficial for the human. The second one is that you should always design AI systems up front with having humans in mind or with having human workflows in mind. The way I do it is that I always map out the process before and see how are humans involved. And only then we consider how AI can actually augment or increase, enhance this workflow. And obviously, if you have this approach or if you have this paradigm, then you need to answer the question for you, what kind of context do you need to bring into this AI system? For example, every software company out there right now is trying to integrate or launch their co-pilot features. And the reason they are launching this co-pilot features is that they want to bring in context. For example, if I ask ChatGPT to write an email, it's basically dumb. It doesn't know what kind of email I want to write what my writing style is, what the previous message was, and so on. But if I open Copilot in Microsoft Outlook, for example, it is at least theoretically able to read all my message histories, to analyze my writing style, and to get this information right into the context. So the actual human working in this program can just go ahead and let it get a suggestion for an email, which is really personalized to them. And obviously, if you're talking about these AI augmented and human-centric workflows, we need to train people for this. Because like, if you're like me or like us here in the AI bubble, we might think that AI is all over the place. Everyone has heard about ChatGPT. Why should we even mention that? Everyone knows that. But it's actually not the case. Like, if you just have normal conversations with normal people out there, a lot of people haven't even heard about ChatGPT, not to mention even tried that piece of software. So we need to find a good onboarding process and a good upskilling and enablement process for people, especially across large organizations, that helps them to interact responsibly with these AI systems. So that's the first prediction I have, AI augmentation that beats automation. And the second one that I brought for you today is that open source systems guarantee AI flexibility. So what's the point here? The point is that last year, maybe some of you have already forgotten, but last year we all almost saw a meltdown of OpenAI. Quick recap, what happened? The OpenAI board ousted Sam Altman as the CEO, and 2 days later, the whole company said, okay, we're going to resign. There was a huge drama. In the end, he went back in and everything like went back to normal, more or less. But what do we learn from that? We learn from that, like, the major leading AI industry player right now, OpenAI, can stumble over a weekend. So it's not the time right now to go all in into a certain technology, not to mention even a certain vendor. So what do you do? Honestly, I'm not really a big proponent of saying that companies should make their first AI steps with open source models, because there's a lot of overhead and administration around that. But you should design your systems in a way that you're really easy, that you can easily switch the models, or that you're easily able to replace certain pieces of your AI stack. Because normally you have a layer where you have the model, where you just like host whatever kind of language model you have or AI model you have. Then you have a layer which is typically doing the pre-processing or integrating this layer or integrating this AI service into your software, into your services. And then you have a user layer that is actually integrating this AI system for you. And right now, I think it's not the time to go all in into one vertical solution that covers all of these aspects, because again, this whole industry is still pretty immature. We don't really know where this is going. And this is a good point for open source. There are great open source tools out there that allow you to plug and play different large language models. There are great open source tools that allow you to build AI or generative AI applications where you can actually quickly plug and play different models. And there are also like great user front ends that keep most of the logic of what you want to do and what kind of context you give into these different workflows away from the data or from the language or analysis layer and from the AI layer below that. So bottom line here really is to focus, to have a flexible stack. Open source large language models might be a good solution for that, but I think bottom line really is to focus on being flexible across your whole AI stack. And this right now means that you need to embrace open source technology for that. And there are really great packages out there. LangChain is just one example. Llama Index is another one that I use pretty frequently. Those of you who have heard about Hugging Face, for example, Hugging Face is a platform where you can currently find over 400,000 open source AI models that you can just download to use for different use cases. Not all of them are available for commercial licenses, but most of them are. So you can check out that. So avoid vendor lock-in at this stage and just observe where this industry is going and embrace open source tools.
Thank you, Tobias. That's great. You know, it's interesting. The paradox, AI needs humans. And I love that part. With that, I want to thank everyone for joining us today. Enjoy, learn, grow, and stay in touch. Thank you all.